Right. And the other biomarker issue that I was interested in, we looked at this with all three of these cancers because we see this across oncology and cancer treatment in general, which is the use of multiplex testing, usually next generation sequencing. Normally in ovary, for example, a patient who's gotten beyond approved therapies, and we saw a quarter of the patients had some kind of testing. When a doc in practice asks you, is this worth doing in a patient with ovarian cancer, how do you answer?
Yeah, so in fact, let me first react to the data you've collected, which is I thought the next-gen usage was higher than I would have expected. And to get back to your question, I usually instruct physicians who are asking me that at present, most next-gen panels do not provide us with information to alter standard of care management of ovarian cancer patients. Now, there may be mutations, rare mutations, and other things on those next-gen panels that allow a physician to triage a patient to a trial. But I have to argue, and I spent a lot of time on this, I do think that component of it is still experimental. So it begs another question, which is, okay, why is the next-gen sequencing frequency rate higher than you would expect, but the BRCA1 and 2 is lower than we want? Because the data to support that is absolutely clear-cut. And I would assume part of it is communication. We have yet to communicate the proper way about BRCA1 and 2, and that's why these exercises are very important and videos like this are. But two, NextGen has gotten a lot of high-profile discussions, not in ovary, but in other tumors, and I think that that's penetrating into the community faster than BRCA1 and 2 issues. The solution may be to try to get next-gen panels that have BRCA1 and 2 on it, then, of course, you get a twofer. You get all the information.
Right. And I guess, actually, if you think about it, yeah, in lung, we require that all the patients have non-squamous cancers. And right now, if you think about it, next-gen sequencing, unless the patient has a mutation, tumor mutation, which we stipulated they didn't, is standard of care. So, actually, the lung rates being 27% are actually low compared to what, you know, the investigators are saying right now. It should be essentially 100%. But in ovarian cancer, for example, do you yourself utilize some type of multiplex testing outside of trial?
It's a great question. So we've now gone from our original, what we called Snapshot platform, to a next-gen platform, which has about 150 cancer genes on it. To be perfectly honest, I would say in my own practice, I'm probably in the range of between 25 and most 50% of patients getting that because the mutation rates are so low in ovarian cancer. And we're already testing for BRCA1 and 2 and potentially the Fanconi pathway, which we can target. So you might ask, well, then why do I get it at all? Because as patients evolve through the natural history of ovarian cancer and they are on their second, third, or fourth recurrence, obviously they're concerned about their future. There's a certain amount of expected desperation sets in. And we're beginning to look for next trials that may not be ovary specific. They may be a small molecule inhibitor of FGFR mutation. So even though that mutation is only 1% or 2% in ovarian cancer, in that setting, it may be worth doing. So that's why most of my patients end up getting it. And I think you bring up a very good point. I certainly don't want to send the message what I was saying about ovary, I would extend to lung or other tumors. What I was saying in terms of I thought the next gen rate is higher, that was specifically looking at the ovary data.
Right.